the one song of those who thirst after absolute power, that the interest of the state requires that its affairs should be conducted in secret. But the more such arguments disguise themselves under the mask of public welfare, the more oppressive is the slavery to which they will lead. Better that right counsels be known to enemies, than that the evil secrets of tyrants should be concealed from the citizens. They will conceal secretly of the affairs of a nation and is absolutely under their authority. As they plot against the enemy in time of war, so do they against the citizens in time of peace.
Coming to you simultaneously from the center of the universe and deep in the heart of nowhere. AboveTopSecret.com presents the 2 out of 3 Amigos Conspiracy Show with your host, the Skeptic Overlord and Springer.
And now, prepare your tinfoil hats, align your ciphers, engage your cone of silence, lock your bunkers, and switch proxy servers. The 2 out of 3 Amigos.
And here we are, December 1st, the 2 out of 3 Amigos. This is the Skeptic Overlord, and through the magic of Skype, we also have...
Springer looking around, and I can tell you, everyone, he's not here tied up in a potato sack.
I actually had a life last week, and I did make a podcast, and people complained. What's up with that?
They love you, man.
I don't think that's it.
Well, me neither, but I'm trying to be a nice guy.
Yeah, they just got nervous. Oh, no, where's the Skeptic Overlord? Help us. Yeah.
You got to give Mr. Whoopi some props, though. I mean, that was an ingenious concept that I kidnapped you and whatever the hell else it was. I mean, it was just genius.
Why was it genius? I mean, there's no freaking way you could possibly manage to wrap me up and kidnap me. I've heard about your back. It just wouldn't happen.
Well, yeah, but the cane, man. I got the cane, you know. 2 whacks on the back and it's all over. I mean, no, the genius part was it had my name in it.
Oh, okay. So I see. Yeah, now we get to the root of it. It's attention. That's what you're looking for.
It's a self-esteem issue.
Right.
Actually, my issues have issues, but that's okay.
All right, so...
How are you, Bill?
I'm okay. How are you? I mean, how was your holidays?
My holidays were calorically enjoyable.
Well, we've already actually had this conversation, but...
Yes, several times. We did,
so... So we got to make nice and pretend that we like each other.
Yeah, I hate your guts.
Yeah, this guy calls me and pesters me.
Yeah.
Did you see what so-and-so said on the board?
Yeah.
I get a call calls 3 times a day.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I need your help, man. I need your help. That's what really happens, folks.
Uh-huh. Yep, I get the alarm. I get the Springer alarm. Help.
That's right. Bill calls me and has to ask
me.
So
why are we here tonight?
I don't know. Oh. Why are we here tonight?
Well, I guess we just felt compelled because of Mr. Whoopi.
Well, yeah, I think everybody bitching about it. We had to do something.
So what are we doing?
I guess we could talk about conspiracies?
No.
Nah, let's not do that. This is a conspiracy.
I walked all over you with that stinger, didn't I?
Yes.
But it seemed like a good time to segue. So
yeah, it's kind of like a sushi girl walking on my back, man. It felt good.
So we had quite a podcast last time, apparently, at least gauging by the follow-up discussion.
Yeah, actually, I'm looking at it right now. We had 42 replies of either podcast replies or text replies, and I think that breaks a record for a pod thread on our site. Nah, probably not.
I don't think so, no.
Nah, it doesn't. Well, it should have, but it didn't. But yes, you're right. It really fueled a great conversation, I think is what it did. We Come in Peace was one of the members who really got into it. I think it was a great, you know, example of a way people can have a conversation who are on two different sides of an issue and speak to each other instead of yell at each other and do stupid drama crap. We really did. You know, I learned a lot from it. And, you know, the question still remains what brought the towers down. But I think there's a lot more information, you know, just on our board by virtue of this pod thread. It was a good deal.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily in the camp that thinks the question still remains what brought the towers down, but there's mysteries that that shouldn't be there that at least we know at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't necessarily pointing out, you know, a big conspiracy. Basically, what I meant is the question of whether or not the conspiracy exists is still out there in a whole lot of people's minds. Right. And there's a lot of good, you know, there's a lot of reason for it. I mean, there's a lot of weird shit going on with the falling of the towers.
Yeah, we've seen that. And actually, that I mean, I can't imagine any other topic area that has been so pervasive across the board for literally ever since ATS started becoming popular.
Yeah. Well, I can think of one that had the internet been around when this happened. half of our bandwidth would have been, you know, conversations and threads about this particular conspiracy I have in mind.
What's that?
Well, are you ready?
Are we ready?
Are we ready? I think we're ready.
I think we should be ready. Let's go. So what the hell was Mark talking about? This other big conspiracy that would be so dominating the website if the ATS website were around when this conspiracy happened. And really, it's the Iran-Contra conspiracy, or the Iran-Contra scandal, the Iran-Contra affair, or the
Iran-Contra matter.
Affair. Affair? Why is that?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It sounds, you know, more nefarious.
It actually sounds like the Iranians and the Contras of Nicaragua were, you know, fooling around.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, a lot of
and they
kind of
were.
Go ahead.
They kind of were via the Reagan administration, weren't they?
At least in an indirect way.
Got that right.
So, what are we talking about here? A lot of our members certainly only ever heard of Iran-Contra from history books, and even some of our more aged members like us, Iran-Contra is a distant memory, and by no means am I trying to say I'm an expert, and I just happened to pay attention a little bit when this crap went down, but it's this really is a serious and confirmed, deeply penetrating conspiracy involving all levels of government, from the executive branch all the way through to private military contractors. And just that statement alone, I mean, think about it, Mark. Just think about if there was something confirmed that was that deep, how it would be wildfire on the boards.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that blows my mind the most about the Iran-Contra affair, conspiracy, again, pick your name, is this is an absolute 100% confirmed, 100% documented by the government, proof that our government is capable of, not only capable of, but more than willing to create and execute a pure conspiracy behind everybody's backs and under everyone's nose.
Right. So let me see if I have the facts of this conspiracy essentially correct. And some people may not be completely aware, like I said, of what it was and what went down. And even now, sitting back, I mean, we've done some research. It's still, yeah, you know, I can't believe that something like this happened. Essentially, so that people can understand what we're talking about here, because we're going to talk about it for a while. The conspiracy involved presidential authority to exchange military arms sales for American hostages of terrorists in Iran and a few other Middle Eastern countries that were sort of involved that weren't really that popular in the actual information that was released in the conspiracy. And this was done so that Iran could gain an edge in the Iran-Iraq war that was raging at the time. And those arms sales began in early 1981 and through 1986. About $12 million in profits, I think, were from those sales were covertly funneled to the Nicaraguan Contras. They're a paramilitary group And it was to aid their assistance of the Nicaraguan Sandinista Junta of National Reconstruction. And this is the group that came into power after the overthrowing of the Somoza family, who was ruling Nicaragua. And our government decided that we should support the Contras, even though they were brutal. I mean, they were killing civilians. I mean, one of the things that came out at the time, but really isn't that well known now, is the Contras were incredibly brutal. Human rights groups were just up in arms over what they were doing in Nicaragua.
Well, yeah, I mean, they were a typical, you know, banana republic dictatorship in the process of becoming and, you know, coming into power. And if you weren't on our side, we just chopped your head off. I mean, you know, pretty standard operating procedure down there.
Right, right. So it was, so that alone, I mean, just stand back and think of that. We negotiated with terrorists and sold them weapons.
Yeah, and another interesting, if not utterly despicable part of it was the Boland Act, which was, you know, is a law passed by Congress specifically to keep this from happening. I mean, you know, the Boland Cutoff, as it's called, which basically ran from 1984 to 1986. That was a 2-year window that closed any and all U.S. government sponsored aid to Nicaragua in this conflict. And the intent of the law was to keep us from meddling in, you know, the politics of sovereign nations in South America. So, you know, what did the Reagan administration do? Well, okay, let's see. Congress passed a law that absolutely forbids us from getting involved in this. So, you know, we're just going to have to find a way
around. Contractors!
Hello. We'll just cheat. Amazing.
Right. So that was the involvement. Actually, really, at least in recent memory, I mean, recent memory being 50 years, the first real involvement of private contractors in military affairs of this level.
Yep.
I mean, of you know, action levels, not just supporting troops in the field with meals in the cafeteria.
Right, out there pulling the trigger.
Right.
Yeah.
So another aspect of this that has created a popular catchphrase, October Surprise. And some people may not be completely aware of where that that phrase October Surprise has come from. And this, in all of the follow-up investigations, this hasn't been completely confirmed, but there's a lot of evidence pointing to the fact that leading up to the election, and it was Reagan against Jimmy Carter, and I mean, in retrospect, Jimmy Carter now looks like a much better president than he was then, but you know, he still wasn't so great.
No, he wasn't. I mean, I remember, you know, 14% interest rates with perfect credit and everybody. Oh,
right. It was not good.
No.
Where was I? Yes. October Surprise.
There you go.
George Bush was Reagan. George Bush Sr. was Reagan's vice president candidate. And coming hot off the heels of being the head of the CIA, of course, he had some connections.
Maybe one or two.
Yeah, a few. He was instrumental in organizing a plot with Iran. Now remember, soon before this, actually a few years before this, American hostages were taken by the Iranians at the time, Iranian terrorists, as they overthrew the Shah. And they've been kept there for quite some time. Now, the Bush team, or the Reagan team with Bush, I should say, negotiated with Iran to hold release of the hostages until after the election. And in exchange for these upcoming arms sales through the Reagan administration and, you know, decent prices on things like TOW missiles in there. Those are
nice little thing to have, right?
Yeah, let's have a few of those around.
Yeah.
And that's the nature of the October Surprise. So if you can imagine, again, now, if it wasn't enough for the... And there were some drug sales involved, too, and there's a lot of information about a lot of theories that crack cocaine was literally invented during this whole fiasco by the CIA. But in addition to the arms sales to terrorists, and in addition to funneling money to a brutal resistance regime in Nicaragua, we withheld, we delayed the release of American hostages held by terrorists.
Yeah, I mean, that is so despicable. I mean, those guys were, you know, it's pretty well easy to imagine they weren't staying at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel and getting treated real well either. I mean, what a just despicable thing. I mean, it's sickening to even think about.
So, as you did a little research in this nice little episode in history, what are some of the interesting things that caught your eye?
Well, one thing for sure that I've always wondered about is Bill Casey, William Casey. Yeah. He was the director, CIA, you know, and he really did try to insulate himself and the CIA from blatant illegal activities connected to the Boland Act. Again, the Boland Act was the law passed by Congress that absolutely forbid us from getting involved in anything down there. So Casey really, he played it pretty close to the vest and brought in, well, you can't say that he directly brought in, but ultimately he brought Oliver North in, who was working for the National Security Advisor, and just played the whole thing off on NSA. So what you had here was William Casey, who obviously was brought up by George Bush Sr. I mean, you know, this guy goes from director, George Bush Sr. goes from director of CIA to vice president candidate, and time goes by, they get elected, yada, 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 and Bill Casey is now the director of the CIA. What has always fascinated me about this is right before the whole thing blew wide open, and the independent investigator or independent counsel that was prosecuting the case, before he could ever sit down and talk to Bill Casey, director of the CIA. Now, if there was a guy you wanted to talk to about a conspiracy involving international intrigue, Iran, you know, Central America, the Sandinistas, the Contras, the Junta, all of it, it would be the director of the CIA.
You'd think. I mean, we went to this guy for the 9/11 commission, so
yeah,
his counterpart.
Exactly. Yeah. And what happens to Bill Casey, you know, I don't know, 10 days before he's supposed to present himself and answer all these questions? He died in his fishing boat.
No.
Dropped dead on a sunny Sunday or Saturday morning out fishing. Boop, dead.
Now,
oh,
that's fishy. No pun intended, sorry.
Oh, my God. Okay, that's it. I quit. Oh, God.
We're trying to be all serious here, and the Overlord comes up with some crap like that.
At least do something good.
That's mysterious.
Yeah, okay, I really do have the real skeptic Overlord in a potato sack. This guy that you're hearing, he sounds like Bill, but it ain't him. Exactly. Seriously, though, I mean, Bill Casey just dropping dead then, that is always kind of, you know, I mean, it just never smelled right to me. I mean, it's just too convenient, too coincidental, and, you know, beyond that, I guess God only knows, right?
Yeah, this whole event, and a lot of people really take for granted the advantage we have of the internet today. But this whole event in history took place before we had something like the internet to keep people informed and for, you know, thousands of people to exchange their ideas of what's going on. I mean, forget ATS for a moment, but just for a moment.
Yeah, never.
But, I mean, if you just look at all the blogs out there and the information exchange happening in the blogosphere, it is where we've seen a lot of political discussion and conspiracy crop up now. But there wasn't even that. There was nothing. Yeah. This was before there were bulletin board systems on dial-up. There were a few, but there weren't really any large enough to exchange this kind of information. It was before CompuServe and AOL and all that crap. And all we really had were, like, independent newspapers. And growing up in Buffalo, I mean, there might be one I can get from L.A. I could get the Village Voice. There was one out of Toronto that we could get, but really they were scarce. And occasionally you'd get, you know, articles about this going on. And the incident with Casey dying unexpectedly was certainly one that was talked about quite a bit. And yep. George Bush Sr. and his former involvement in the CIA was indeed a going theory of involvement in encouraging Mr. Casey to depart this life sooner than expected.
Yeah. Wasn't that nice? Unreal. You know, and just looking at what we've got going on in the world today and what has been exposed by virtue of the internet, you know, Abu Ghraib, the prison deal, you know, there's just dozens of things in today's real world that are being exposed on the internet that if you took the internet away, put the genie back in the box today, I doubt, you know, there'd be a whole lot of stuff going on none of us would ever hear about. That is the case with Iran-Contra.
Yeah, there. One of the things that cropped up on the internet, but really was related to Iran-Contra, but kind of just didn't get a lot of popular coverage, is when Bush first became president in after the election the first time out, he began appointing people who were formerly involved and in some cases heavily implicated in criminal acts in the Iran-Contra scandal. There was Powell. Powell was involved.
Yep.
Poindexter, Reich, Negroponte, Armitage, Abrams, and a few others. These were all people involved in the Iran-Contra scandal that are now suddenly appointees in the new Bush administration.
Isn't that great?
And it just boggles my mind, and I think it indicates the short memory of the public in general. I mean, forget about the short memory of conspiracy. Let me have another drink of beer. Maybe I can say conspiracy theorists better.
You know, talk about the old boy network, good old boy network, alive and well in Washington, D.C., for Christ's sake. I mean, if these guys are regular Joes and not former Reagan White House employees, NSA employees, or CIA guys, whatever they were, they'd be in federal prison. But,
right, well, talk
you
about,
know,
I'm sorry, go ahead. I promised no. you I wouldn't interrupt.
Well, all I was getting at
is,
not only are these guys not, are they not in federal prison, but Christ, they're getting appointed by the President of the United States.
And one great example of that is Mr. Groton, a 9/11 committee commissioner appointed by Bush, who back in the days of these deep, dark Iran-Contra scandals was on the Senate Intelligence Committee for over a decade, and he ran interference during the entire scandal.
Sure.
And now he's on the 9/11 committee? I mean, give me a break.
And you say there's no question as to what brought the towers down. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And Colin Powell, I mean, he seems to have somewhat of a Teflon reputation now because of his deeds in the last Iraq War. But he was one of at least five men at the time within the Pentagon who knew arms were being transferred to the CIA to be sold to Iran with money being funneled to the Contras. And he was the one giving the green light to the Defense Logistics Agency to transfer TOW missiles to the CIA so that they could in turn be delivered to Iran. And this appeared in the New York Times in February of 1987. This isn't some conspiracy theory. This is for real.
Yep. In Colin Powell's defense, though, you know, I think the position he was in back then was...
Come on.
No, I'm serious. I mean, that guy, you know, he's a go-along... Back then, he had to be a go-along guy if he wanted to get anywhere in the world. And I say this because leading up to
he certainly was go-along at the UN these past few years, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, but let's stop and review that. That's exactly what I was leading up to. Going into the war... You know, he believed what he was told, but I've read, I've heard, and I believe that within the you know, inner circle of President Bush Jr., or current guy, he has absolutely been a staunch, you know, opponent to Bush's handling of the Iraq War, and has been very pissed off at you know, what got us into it. I mean, he, well, you know, I don't know. I've just got a real admiration for Colin Powell. What can I say? I mean,
well, he's dirty.
Well, you know, who isn't in that game? But I think he's the least dirty of them all.
I don't know. Henry Kissinger, he's not so dirty.
Oh, God. Let me tell you, darling, we will cut the heads off and then we will eat them for dinner.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
HK.
Kissinger and Associates. He was involved. Mm. He was one of the, his firm was one of the firms funneling the cash to those private contractors pulling the triggers.
I mean, for Christ's sake, Kissinger has been involved in every dirt deal in America since before Watergate, including Watergate, through Iran-Contra. I mean, you know, I think, you know, just the fact he's so old now, he probably can't sit up straight is the only reason he's not involved in everything now.
Oh, wow. I'm sure he is.
Yeah, he probably is.
Partnership for a New American Century.
Yeah. Well, what else you got on this Iran-Contra deal, Billy?
Well, there's just so much, and I think we're scratching the surface and probably not really doing a that good of a job. Like I said, going into this, we're not experts. We're just more or less relating what we recall and what we remember from the time. Yeah. But one of the things that really stands out as we look back in history at this and watch the testimony, a couple events. First of all, when the Reagan presidency was departing the White House, this was as some of the independent counsel was really heating up in different aspects of the investigation. They expected to bring George Bush, who then became president, in for questioning. And what happened soon before that is all of the White House data was backed up to magnetic tape, because that was back at a time when computers weren't as small as they are now.
No.
And backups were giant reels, like 14-inch reels of magnetic tape. And seven critical tapes were lost.
Amazing.
Where'd they go? There's no more tapes. Well, you know, there must not be any information of importance on those tapes, because we wouldn't lose anything important.
Oh, of course not.
So the next thing that's one of the most popular discussed conspiracy topics of the era is Reagan's Alzheimer's. And, you know, we now know it was a sad event that he really did become deep in the grip of Alzheimer's disease, which is a terrible disease, the long goodbye. No one wants to wish that on anyone.
Never.
But the going conspiracy theory of the time relates to Reagan's apparent selective memory, where those interviewing him about this event really did come away with the feeling that, you know, he really doesn't remember this crap. He really seems to not recall critical events around the Iran-Contra affair. However, clearly remembering other similar events that other, you know, important events of his presidency that happened at the same time.
Yep.
So the theory is that there was some effort to erase portions of his memory that then sparked Alzheimer's and resulted in full-blown Alzheimer's.
Yeah, I mean, that one's hard for me to deal with.
Certainly it is hard to deal with, but, you know, putting yourself back in that time where there wasn't the internet, and for people that were at least paying attention to politics and possible conspiracies to know that that was a popular theory, it was definitely widespread.
No doubt, and I remember it myself. But my point is that, you know, I can kind of believe, assuming that any of this mind control stuff that we hear about all the time is real, and I have a pretty good feeling that quite a bit of it is. You know, I could see how, God forbid, they subjected the president to some form of mind control or other that may have triggered it or something like that. But the thought that he was injected or something like that with Alzheimer's just blows my mind, because that opens up a whole nother conspiracy now that, well, if they can create it and inject it, then why can't they cure it?
That is a good point.
You know, I mean, it's
because the there's far more profit in the pharmaceuticals of treatment than there are in the pharmaceuticals of cure.
Hello, nurse. Keep those customers coming back.
Right. And that's a whole other conspiracy theory completely.
Yes, it is. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's three shows worth, the pharmaceutical industry.
Right.
Maybe
we should get Sophie Crow in that one.
Yeah.
Get her as a special guest. She has something to say about that, I think.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, the Iran-Contra, again, if only the Internet, you know, could have been born, 10 years early?
It'd have to be like 15.
If it was 15, okay, yeah. That's probably right, yeah. But it fogs my mind at the amount of information on the Internet about the most mundane or crazy conspiracy. And in doing research for this pod show, I was shocked at how little there really is about this confirmed. And maybe that's why, because it is blown wide open and it's confirmed and it's documented, so there's just not a hell of a lot to talk about anymore. I don't know.
Well, we certainly see the seeds of current strife in the Middle East and our issues with the people of, the leaders of Iraq, we could say, the leaders of the Muslim nations, were sown during this affair with Iran-Contra. And what happened, it can be, because if...
Wow.
Wasn't that great? Let's try
it. Yeah.
Let's try that again.
One more time.
If you think about the time, we were essentially, at least overtly, supporting Iraq in the war against Iran.
Oh, yeah.
However, behind the scenes, we're selling arms to Iran. So that's got to piss off Saddam Hussein. These people tend to have long memories.
Yeah, and not only piss off Saddam Hussein, but, I mean, how about the trust factor? You know, for anybody over there, they're going, okay, Uncle Sam is going to play both ends against the middle no matter what we do or what we say.
What else is new?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, we're in it for us.
Right.
You got oil. You're our buddy.
So I believe we've covered everything, haven't we? Well, no, we haven't covered everything. We can't possibly cover everything.
Well, if everything is about 1/100,000th of the whole situation, then yes, we've covered it quite well.
So what's going on the board this week or this past week? I mean, we had Thanksgiving and things were kind of slow. And like I mentioned, I didn't do a skeptic overview. I had other things to pay attention to. What did you notice on the board?
There's a new... Well, just actually today, I think it came up, this SERPA, or what the heck is it? The
SERPO.org or SERPRICO.com.
SERPRICO got shot or something.
Zeta Reticuli, SERPO something.
Yeah, SERPO. There's a new website out that appears to be trying to give birth to a new version of a very old story, Serpo.org. I mean, that was pretty interesting. The Zeta Reticuli Exchange Program that seems to be heating up pretty good on, we've got a big,
I can't take it.
You know, what are your thoughts on that, Bill? And don't sugarcoat your words. Let's hear it straight up.
Okay. Seriously, I've read a lot of that website, and the diction, the vocabulary choices, the writing style are simply not that of someone who was an educated adult of the time these events occurred. That's the big red light with me.
Okay. And that's it?
Well, I mean, that's one of the first things I noticed.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
One of the things that I found in it, that every good hoax and every real situation has going for it, are kernels of truth. You know, I'm not prepared to write this thing off totally as a hoax, you know, designed for the Internet. I'm just not. Now, I do believe it could be a great attempt at promoting a new book, a new movie, something like that. The last possibility on my list is that we really sent 12 people to a planet with two suns and say the reticuli. But it is entertaining reading. I guarantee it. It's that. I've enjoyed reading it today.
Well, in any event, the author of that website has agreed to some type of exclusive involvement with ATS in the near future. So they will be coming over. We'll treat them nice. We'll give them a chance to tell their story and be involved in some way, either an exclusive interview or a guest speaker to answer some of our members' questions directly, or maybe even a podcast interview or some combination thereof. So that'll be
interesting. You know, I want to take this. This is a great opportunity for me to express something that Val Hall brought up. And that is when we are in the middle of debunking something, and this is a great example of it. You know, it's really important that the debunkers, as well as the true believers, get the facts right. I mean, there's as much, yes. In my mind, because you can become, as have as much egg on your face, I think, to quote Val Hall, if you're a debunker who is not using the correct facts, as, you know, a person who's a true believer and just believes that, yeah, we sent 12 people to Zeta Reticuli in a Cadillac. I mean, so let's keep this thing.
Yeah, if you... If you distort the facts, you're no better than the hoaxers.
Exactly. And one of the things I've really enjoyed about the thread on our site is, so far, everybody has, you know, maintained a quorum and they're having a conversation and nobody's going off the handle. You know, the true believers aren't going, well, you're just, you know, a disinformationist. And the skeptics aren't going, well, you're just, a lunatic. So,
yeah. Well, yeah. We actually get a lot of that where, I'm sure we're going to see some soon, possibly followers of this website coming to ATS to defend the honor. But really, we tend to see that quite a bit, where the believers, and that's really a good word, of things like extraterrestrials and the UFO visitation and abductions and things like that, feel that we debunk too much. And maybe we do, but really that's the best way. I mean, for something, if something can withstand severe and critical analysis through this kind of debunking, then maybe we have something.
Exactly.
And that's the spirit of the debunking here in ATS, is to cut through the shit and find something that might be something.
You know, you're exactly right. I mean, the beauty of the site is we all want to believe. We really do. I mean, would you not be thrilled to death, Bill, as a human being, to find out that, you know, whatever, pick it. I mean, the UFOs, the aliens, the grays, the reds, the blues, the blacks, I don't care what. But, I mean, would it not absolutely be the most incredible day of your life to find out that yes, we're in contact? Yeah. Exactly.
I guess, I mean, so. I don't know if it'd be the most incredible day of my life, but it certainly would make me turn to CNN and see what the hell's going on.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I mean, I'm talking about beyond your personal existence within your home, it would be a fabulous day. And that's kind of the spirit of ATS is, you know, bring your theories, bring your ideas. But if you're, you know, made something up this afternoon and you think you're going to come to the site and spew it and everybody's going to roll over and go, oh, gosh, that's right. Well, it's not happening that way because
like the
what's
dude that
the
called
point?
Mylar balloons and called it UFOs.
Yes. Yes. Wasn't he a classic? Was that God
Yahweh.
Alpha or something?
Mr.
Yeah, Yahweh.
That was it.
Yeah,
it was.
Mr. Yahweh. Yes, he was something. But again, you know, I really do appreciate and look forward to continuing of you know, conversation. There's no reason to get emotional over this stuff or, you know, think people are evil or nefarious because they don't agree with you. That's just ridiculous. And I think in that spirit we will get to the truth.
Excellent. So I really didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the board, so I don't have anything to say.
Yeah, I knew that.
No, that was the thread that I was paying attention to also. And there was some good stuff on ATS. And as always, some nice podcasts. The Zed Show is back on the air.
Thank God. I was going through withdrawals.
Right. And the members were filling in the blanks nicely. There's some nice podcast material over the past couple of weeks. And we're bracing ourselves for the return of magic.
Yes, he is back. He's back, 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 back.
The most prolific podcaster in ATS history.
Yeah, I think in global history. And also we have, I've heard a rumor that AT Estrogen will be back this week in fine form.
AT what? No, AT Estrogen, right?
Oh, here he goes again. Buffalo Bill. AT Estrogen. Let's all say it slowly together. AT Estrogen.
I mean, when you look at it, you know, it's estrogen. I mean.
Well, no, the O and the R are not really an O and an R. Or are they?
Right. So maybe this is a good time to wrap up.
I think it is.
Finally, we're back. And one of the reasons for the delay also is I have a new machine, which is managing this podcast tonight. And for the first time in the 2 out of 3 Amigos, Mark is able to hear the music and the sound effects that I'm doing on this end.
Unfortunately, we're no better because of it, but it's true. I can't hear it.
At least he knows what the hell I'm doing here.
Exactly.
He doesn't have to hold his breath wondering what did Bill do between the time we finish and it gets uploaded.
It does kind of take the surprise out of it for me, though, after I listen to the upload, but that's okay. It's great.
So this wraps things up. Any parting words? We have like 50 seconds left in the exit music.
Just keep coming back, and for God's sake, find Skeptic Overlord. I've lost him. Help me, Lord. Help me.
What? Yeah, you know my number, so you certainly haven't lost me. You pester me every day. So,
who pesters who?
Yeah, me. So I'd like to say for information on this and other topics, come to ATS. There really isn't much about Iran-Contra on the ATS discussion board. So what we'll do is we'll post some links on our pod thread in the podcast forum. So that's it for now. Good night from the Skeptic Overlord.
And Springer.
And have a good one.